Case number 83. This is March 11th, 1903. It's the United States versus W. Jenkins. The complaint was that Jenkins, quote, did on the 6th day of March 1903 give spirituous liquor to Henry, an Indian. Complaint was filed, warrant issued, man brought into court, and we'll see what the disposition of his case was. Mr. Jenkins demanded and received a jury trial. Here's the finding of the jury. I'm quoting, "We, the jury, on the above-entitled case, find the defendant guilty as charged," signed by T.B. Stanley, C.G. Sladelman, F.A. Rambout, John Miles, B.W. Stickney, and D.W. Scott. The commissioner, J. Lindley Green, handed down this sentence, and this is in his writing. "It is therefore ordered and adjudged by the court that the defendant be, and hereby is, sentenced to be imprisoned in the Rampart Jail for the term of 6 months, and that he pay the cost and disbursement of this suit, taxed at $40.80, dated the 16th day of March, 1903. Case number 84, this is March 18th, 1903. This also was, I won't name any names because I'm not going to look up the disposition of it. It was a complaint filed by the deputy marshal accusing a man of selling intoxicating liquors. Doesn't say to whom. I think with all the saloons around here that they wouldn't have to be charged with selling liquors or liquor. Total court costs in that case were $267.47. So apparently he was selling them from up the creeks or someplace where he wasn't supposed to be selling them. Another case noted in April of 1903. This is 1903. Charging a Walter Smith with the crime of grand larceny for stealing $70 from Joseph Anisich on the 9th day of April, 1903. Grand larceny is, let's see if that charged. Yeah, grand larceny is a felony, and apparently this was just a preliminary hearing. Some of these cases that are misdemeanors are handled by the Justice of the Peace or the Commissioner. But the Commissioner writes in his conclusion of this particular hearing, "The court, after hearing all the evidence, finds that the crime of grand larceny has been committed as charged in the information, and that there is sufficient cause known to believe the defendant guilty thereof. It appearing to me from the testimony produced before me on the examination that the crime of grand larceny has been committed and that there is sufficient cause to believe Walter Smith, the defendant, guilty thereof, I order him to be held to answer to same, and I have admitted him to bail to answer in the sum of $1,000, signed J. Lindley Green, Commissioner." Case number 86, April 21st, 1903, is the United States versus Al Bartlett. I'll read from the first paragraph of this entry. "Information by George Drebelbis, D-R-E-I-B-E-L-B-I-S, so deputy marshal, charging the defendant with the crime of grand larceny for stealing lumber of the United States government at Tanana, Alaska, Rampart Precinct. Warrant was issued, delivered to George G. Perry, United States Marshal, to execute." Commissioner Green writes, After the hearing on this grand larceny charge, it appearing to me from the testimony introduced before me on the examination that the crime of grand larceny for stealing lumber from the United States has been committed, and there is sufficient cause to believe L. Bartlett guilty thereof, and I order him to be held to answer the same. Signed, J. Lindley Green, Commissioner. And he adds another paragraph. Commitment issued and delivered to George G. Perry, United States Marshal, together with the defendant. The bond of defendant is fixed at the sum of $8. The defendant failing to furnish sale bond, the amount thereof is endorsed on the commitment. J. Lindley Green, Commissioner. In May of 1903, another grand larceny case. But the two men charged with the grand larceny were out of town. The commissioner writes in here, May 27th, 1903, information filed and warrant issued for the arrest of the said James Little and Jack Menace. The deputy marshal being out of town, I appoint Philip North, special officer, to execute said warrant and delivered said warrant to him. Case 87, United States versus Thomas O'Leary. O'Leary, shocking. O'Leary was charged with giving malt liquor to Mary, an Indian, without authority to do it. Shame on Tom O'Leary. At any rate, he demanded a jury trial and he got one. I'll just read the last two entries from the court docket here. On May 2nd, 1903, this complaint was made on April 30th and trial was concluded on May 2nd. This is the commissioner writing now. This cause coming on to be heard, the defendant announced that he was ready for trial, and the following named persons were selected, found qualified, and sworn to try the case, after which the evidence was introduced on part of plaintiff and defendant, and after counsel for plaintiff and defendant had made their argument to counsel, the court instructed the jury as to the law, and the jury retired to deliberate on their verdict, and after their deliberation returned into the court and rendered the following verdict. We, the jury, in the above-entitled cause, find the defendant not guilty as charged. Signed, G.A. Ketter, George W. Woods, Julius Hoffman, Charles E. Erhorn, Adolf Biederman, Albert H. Woods. Justice Court for the Precinct of Rampart, District of Alaska, Division Number 3, the entitled United States of America, U.S., Thomas O'Leary. Last paragraph, May 2nd, 1903. The above named Thomas O'Leary, having been brought before me, J. Lindley Green, Commissioner for Rampart Precinct and ex officio Justice of the Peace, in a criminal action for the crime of giving malt liquors to an Indian, and the said Thomas O'Leary, having therefore pled not guilty and duly tried by jury, and said jury having the defendant not guilty, and said verdict having been duly entered, it is therefore hereby ordered that the defendant be and hereby is discharged. Signed, J. Lindley Green, Commissioner and Ex-Officio Justice of the Peace. The next case is United States versus Mary, an Indian. A complaint was made by the deputy marshal charging the defendant. Well, no, her name isn't Mary, it's Maria. She's charged with the crime of conducting a body house in Rampart Precinct, 3rd Division, District of Alaska. Reading from the docket, Commissioner Green writes, the defendant, this is on May 2nd, 1903, complaint was filed on May 1st. She's brought into his court on May 7th. He writes, the defendant, Maria, being duly arraigned and advised of her right to have counsel, stated that she did not desire counsel. The court then read the complaint to said defendant and made her fully acquainted with the nature of the crime against her, stated that she was guilty as charged, and the defendant's plea of guilty as charged is hereby entered. Signed, J. Lindley Green. in the disposition of the case, he writes that I have adjudged that she be imprisoned in the county jail 3 months and that she pay the cost of the action taxed at blank dollars and blank cents, and in case she failed to pay said cost, that she be imprisoned 1 day for each $2 of said court costs. And he fails to note the court costs. But Maria, an Indian, went to jail, apparently. Another case here is the United States versus James Little and Jack Menes. They are charged with the crime of stealing 90 ounces of gold dust of the value of $1,440 on the 26th day of May, 1903. A warrant was issued for their arrest, and they were duly arrested and brought before the court. On May 20th, the examination of the defendants is continued until May 21st in order to procure witnesses in behalf of the United States. On June 6th, the trial was continued on to June 5th, 1903. Commissioner writes, "It appearing to me from the testimony produced before me on the examination that the crime of grand larceny has been committed and that there is sufficient cause to believe Jack Menes, M-E-N-I-C-E, Menes, I think, guilty, and I order him to be held to answer the same." Dated June 5th, 1902, J. Lindley Green, Commissioner. The court finding that there is not sufficient evidence against the defendant James Little to warrant the court to hold him on said charge, but the court having good reason to believe he does believe that he is a material witness in said case, and believing from the evidence before it that unless the said James Little is held under sufficient bond, he will not appear to testify against the said Jack Menes, and $1,500 is a reasonable bond, it is therefore ordered that the said James Little be held as witness in the sum of $1,500 and that he be committed to the custody of the marshal until he furnish said bond. That was a felony, so it probably went to the grand jury, wherever that was held. Here's another case, June 5th, 1903. A complaint against John Crowley for, I'll quote from here, that the defendant John Crowley did on the 4th day of June 1903 commit the crime of assault and battery on the person of Charles Swanson. The warrant was written and issued, and the defendant was arrested, picked up, brought to court. The complaint was read to him. John Crowley was found guilty of the assault. I'll read what Mr. Commissioner Green writes. "The above named John Crowley, having been brought before me, J. Lindley Green, a commissioner and ex officio justice of the peace, in a criminal action for the crime of assault and battery without a dangerous weapon, committed on the person of Charles Swanson, and been duly tried by me, and upon such trial duly convicted, I have adjudged that he be imprisoned in the Rampart Jail for 6 calendar months, and that he pay the cost of the action taxed at $28.60. And in default of the payment of said cost, that he be confined in the Rampart Jail 1 day for every $2 of said cost, in addition to the sentence above passed. Dated this 5th day of June, 1903. J. Lindley Green, Commissioner." Another case is the United States versus John A. Wilson, June 5th, 1903. John A. Wilson used profane and obscene language in a public place in the town of Rampart. Obscene, in this case, is spelled O-B-S-I-N-E. Shame on you, John Wilson. I guess John was guilty because he pled guilty. Commissioner Green writes, the above named John A. Wilson having been brought before me, J. Lindley Green, Commissioner and ex-officio Justice of the Peace, in a criminal action for the crime of using obscene and profane language in a public place in the town of Rampart, to the annoyance of Charles B. Allen, and having entered the plea of guilty, and said plea of guilty as charged, having been duly entered, I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $5 and costs of prosecution and be imprisoned in Rampart Jail until each fine and costs are paid, not exceeding 30 days. J. Lindley Green, Commissioner. Defendant John A. Wilson paid the fine and cost taxed at the sum of... Well, he doesn't fill it in here. That's blank again. I guess John Wilson paid for his obscene language. Another case is the United States versus Maggie Thompson. That complaint was filed by the deputy marshal. States that charges Maggie Thompson with the crime of conducting a body house in the town of Rampart in the 3rd Division District of Alaska. The defendant was arrested in court on June 24, 1903. Was asked if she desired counsel, stated she did not, and asked the court to send for Charles B. Allen, Esquire. No, she stated that she did, and asked the court to send for Charles B. Allen, Esquire. The court complied with defendant's request, and the said Charles B. Allen appeared, after which the defendant pled not guilty, which said plea of not guilty is hereby entered. Defendant then demanded a trial by jury, which was granted by the court. The court set the hearing on trial of said cause June 25th, 1903 at the hour of 2 o'clock p.m. Commissioner Green notes that after Maggie Thompson demanded a jury trial after she got her attorney, Commissioner Green says, notes here, after deliberating, the jury in this case, this cause, did on this 25th day of June 1903 agree upon and return into court the following verdict. We, the jury, in the above-entitled cause, find the defendant not guilty as charged. Signed by Julius Hoffman, Foreman, James Clymy, James Mason, Frank Mitchell, Charles Sheik, Alfred Levine. So she was not guilty of conducting a body house. Maggie was turned loose, free. Charges dropped. Here's another case of a man using profane and obscene language in a public place, and he was found guilty. Well, he pled guilty, and Commissioner Green fined him $5 and court costs. Here's the case, United States versus Patrick Mullane, with the crime of using profane and obscene language in a public place. Let's see what they did with Patrick. Patrick was adjudged guilty on a plea of guilty, and Commissioner Green fined him $5 and the costs of the conducting the case. There's another case, July 13th, 1903, the United States versus John Logan, charged with the crime of embezzlement of $1,050 in the Rampart Precinct, 3rd Division District, Alaska. Commissioner Green, after a hearing on the case, writes, and I quote, it appearing to the court from the testimony introduced before me on the examination that the crime of embezzlement of the sum of $1,050 has been committed, and that there is sufficient cause to believe that John Logan guilty, thereof I order him to be held to answer for the same. So he went to the grand jury too. There's another case against John Doe, alias Long Shorty, W.A. Bislow, and D.W. McCarty. This is the crime of robbery for taking from the person of John Logan $1,050 on the 13th day of July, 1903. Man's name is not Bislow, it's Bigelow. Commissioner Green notes in the docket here, July 20th, 1903, it appearing to me from the testimony produced before me on the examination the crime of grand larceny has been committed, there is sufficient cause to believe A.W. Bigelow and D.W. McCarty guilty thereof and order them and each of them to be held to answer the same. So they went to the grand jury too. In September of 1903, the case was before Commissioner Green. This was against Joseph Alf, A-L-F. The charge is assault and rape. Commissioner Green writes, the case was filed September 15th, and the court trial date was set for October 5th, but on October 5th, the commissioner was in Tanana conducting an inquest into the over the remains. I'll quote here, the defendant, Joseph Elf, was not brought before the court on October 5th for the reason that the court was in Tanana to hold an inquest over the remains of H.J. Massey, deceased, and owing to the fact that the prosecuting witness could not appear before the court at an earlier date, the court, with the consent of defendant, continued the hearing set for October 5th until October 20th. So on October 20th, they had the court trial before the commissioner, and he writes, in conclusion, it appearing to me from the testimony produced before me on the examination that the crime of rape has been committed and that there is sufficient cause to believe Joseph Elf guilty thereof, I order him to be held to answer for same. That too is a felony, so off to the grand jury he went. Next case filed is one of vagrancy. Won't go into that one. Next case is man receiving goods from the North American Transportation and Trading Company worth $75 under false pretenses. Next case is one of assault and battery in the person of Walter Friedenberg, the 29th day of September 1902. United States versus Charles Hilty. This is October 8th, 1903. At a coroner's inquest held before me, I, Lindley Green, commissioner and ex officio coroner over the body of H.J. Massey, the coroner's jury consisting of the following named persons: Ed Raymond, James Currier, A.F. Keeney, J. Hoffman, J.A. Curry, and Alexander Black, the said coroner's jury rendered the following verdict. Quote, we, the jury, find that H.J. Massey met his death from a gunshot wound from a gun fired from the hands of Charles Hilty with the intent to kill. Signed, Ed Raymond, James Currier, F.E. Kenny, J. Hoffman, A.J. Curry, Alexander Black. Upon the rendering of the verdict to the coroner's jury, a warrant for the arrest of the said Charles Hilty was issued by the court, and there being no United States Marshal or deputy to execute said warrant, and it appearing to the satisfaction of the court that said warrant could not be executed unless the court appointed an officer specially to execute the same, the court appointed Frank Hyatt, a special deputy marshal, to execute said warrant and endorse said appointment on said warrant. The next day, October 9th, Charles Hilty was brought before the court where he was read the charges against him, the charges found by the coroner's jury. Murder, in other words. Green notes here, "It appearing to me from the testimony produced before me on the examination that the crime of murder has been committed and that there is sufficient cause to believe Charles Hilty guilty thereof, I order him to be held to answer for same." On October 9th, he writes, "Commitment for the holding, peace holding of the defendant Charles Hilty issued by the court and delivered to the U.S. Marshal George G. Perry together with the witnesses for the prosecution. Charles Goodwin Gibbon McNamara, Fort Gibbon. Charles Goodwin at Fort Gibbon, John McNamara, Fort Gibbon, William Scott, Fort Gibbon, John W. Gorst, Fort Gibbon, Joseph Bellefontaine from Rampart." The next case is for petty larceny. And that covers a couple of pages. I won't go into that. Next case is dated November 4th, 1903. No, that's a continuation of that same case, so we'll skip that. There's another case in December of 1903 against Edwin and Indian. The defendant Edwin and Indian is charged with the crime of unlawfully assaulting and beating William Pitka without being armed with a dangerous weapon on the fourth day of December 1903 at Rampart in Rampart Precinct. No conclusion on that case because they couldn't serve the warrant. They couldn't find the defendant. Skipping over to August of 1904, on the 2nd of August, a case was filed on information under oath made by W.W. Crockett charging that the defendant Joseph A.N.I.C.I.C.H. did on the second day of August in the place of business of the said W.W. Crockett assault the said W.W. Crockett, strike him with the gold dust blower and with his fist, and then assaulted the said Crockett with an iron poker, at the same time threatened to kill the said W.W. Crockett, all contrary to the form of the statutes in such cases made and provided, and against the peace and dignity of the United States. Warrant was issued. The marshal brought the defendant, Joseph Anisich, for the court and read the charges. Well, Mr. Crockett, who had been assaulted, was called to the stand, and the defendant was there, of course. And I'll read some of the court's records here. The defendant, Joseph Anisich, was called and was on the witness stand, and when the court adjourned until August 6, 1904, at the hour of 11 o'clock a.m., at the hour of 11 o'clock a.m., August 6, the court convened, and defendant Joseph Anisich finished his testimony. At this point, the prosecuting witness announced to the court that if Mr. Anisich would promise the court to let him alone and not bother him, that he, Crockett, would keep away from defendant and the case might be dismissed at his, Crockett, expense, as he only wished to feel secure from further assault. The court communicated the above facts to the defendant in open court and signified its willingness to dispose of the case in that way. The defendant, Joseph Anisich, stated in open court that he would make no promises and that he told Mr. Crockett he would kill him and he would not be bound by any promise. The court then continued to take testimony, and John W. Duncan, Mary Monroe, and Mrs. Louise H. Hall were sworn and their testimony taken. The testimony of each witness was read to him, after which they signed the same, excepting Joseph Anisich, who refused to sign his evidence, stating to the court that it was true as written, but his attorney advised him not to sign it, as he was afraid he would have lose some of his rights if he did sign. The court, having heard all the evidence and being fully advised in the premises, and being satisfied from all the evidence, as well as from the conduct of the defendant upon the witness stand and his general demeanor throughout the examination, that there are good reasons to fear the commission of the crime complained of, or at least doing the complaining witness bodily harm, as well as other persons in the community. It is therefore ordered and adjudged by this court that the said Joseph Anisich be and is hereby required to give a good and sufficient bond in the sum of $500 to keep the peace, especially as to the complaining witness W.W. Crockett, and in default of giving said bond, that he be committed to jail to await the action of the district court. The defendant furnished his bond for good behavior. This is July 31st, 1973, and I'm Mike Dalton, still recording a few notes and comments and quotations from the court docket. This particular volume is the court docket in Rampart, Alaska, first few years of the century. This particular case is case number 119. The complaint was filed on March 5, 1905. I'll read directly from the first paragraph of the docket. Complaint made by L. H. Mayo, charging the defendant, George A. Salisbury, S-A-V-L-S-B-E-R-R-Y, with having on the said 5th day of March, 1905, in the saloon of the said L. H. Mayo, the same being a public place in the town of Rampart, in Rampart Precinct, 3rd Division of the District of Alaska, used profane, obscene, and abusive language to complainant L. H. Mayo to the annoyance of said L. H. Mayo. A warrant for the arrest of George A. Salisbury was issued, and Deputy Marshal served the warrant, and same day the complaint and the warrant were issued, the court convened, and I'll read directly from the court's own writing. March 5, 1905. The defendant, George A. Salisbury, being present in court, the court read the complaint to him and informed him that, owing to the fact that this was the first day of the week, commonly called Sunday, that a trial of the case could not be had at this time, the court informed the defendant that he could be admitted to bail and that if it was satisfactory to the defendant, the case could be continued until March 6, 1905, at the hour of 2 o'clock p.m. The said defendant, George A. Salisbury, then became very abusive to the court, demanding that the case be dismissed at once. The court informed the said defendant that court was in session and requested him to be quiet and address the court in a proper manner. Defendant then became more abusive than ever. The court informed him that his conduct was a contempt of court, and if he did not desist in his contemptuous conduct, the court would fine him for contempt. Defendant then called the court vile and indecent names and said he would smash the court, that he did not give a damn for the court, and that he would also say what he damn pleased. Whereupon the court fined the defendant, George A. Salisbury, $25, and accordingly entered the following order. The order is, the defendant, George A. Salisbury, having been guilty of contemptuous conduct in this court, it is therefore hereby ordered and adjudged by this court that the defendant, George A. Salisbury, be and hereby is fined $25 for contempt of this court, and that he be committed to jail until he shall pay said fine not to exceed 13 days, and that the United States Marshal for the District of Alaska or any deputy upon receiving a copy of this order shall take said defendant George A. Salisbury into his custody and detain him accordingly. With the consent of the defendant, the trial of the case is hereby continued until the 6th of March, 1905, at the hour of 2 o'clock, and the defendant is admitted to bail in the sum of $250, and the defendant, having furnished a bond with Press Ireland as security, and said bond having been approved by the court, the defendant is hereby released from custody. March 6, 1902, at the hour of 2 o'clock p.m., this court was called for trial, and the defendant appearing at that time demanded a trial by jury, and the court accordingly issued an order to the marshal to summon a jury of 6 qualified men to appear before the court at the hour of 3 o'clock p.m. on March 6, 1902, to act as jurors in said cause, and the court continued the said case 1 hour for the purpose of procuring a jury. At 3 o'clock p.m., court convened, and the defendant being present in court, the court proceeded with the trial. The following named persons were found to be qualified and were accepted by plaintiff and defendant to try the case. C.A. Brown, Samuel I. Chase, John Skinner, Charles Jordan, Bentley, Colinette. The above-named jurors were then sworn to try the case. Al H. Mayo was then called as a witness for the prosecution and proceeded to testify. The defendant, George A. Salisbury, became boisterous and he was abusing the witness. The court requested him to desist. The defendant then became boisterous and abusive to the court. The court warned him that he must desist from his abuse and conduct himself in an orderly manner, or it would fine him for contempt. The defendant then arose, shook his fist at the court, and told the court that it was trying to cinch him and prejudice, and that the court was trying to do him up, wherefore the court hereby assesses a fine of $25 against defendant George A. Salisbury for contempt, and that in case that he defaults or fails to pay said fine, that he be imprisoned in jail until said fine is paid, not exceeding 10 days, and that the United States Marshal or any deputy shall, upon receipt of copy of this order, receive the defendant into his custody and detain him accordingly. The defendant, that was signed by John Lindley Green, Commissioner. Defendant then told the court that he did not care a damn for its fine, and that he would say what he pleased, for which the court again fined and defendant for contempt. It is therefore hereby ordered that the said defendant George A. Salisbury be and hereby is fined $25 for contempt of court, and that he be imprisoned in jail until said fine is paid, not exceeding 12 days, and that the United States Marshal or deputy upon receipt of a copy of this order shall take the defendant into his custody and detain him accordingly. This is 3 times now that Salisbury has been fined $25 for contempt of court. The trial of the cause then preceded the testimony of L. H. Mayo. Having been concluded, he was excused, and Alvin Paxson was then called as a witness for the prosecution. The witness had been on the witness stand about a short time when the defendant again became abusive to the witness. The court requested him to desist. Defendant then rose from his seat, told the court that it was a damn... Can't read that. Looks like C-I-R. Cur. Damn cur. And that he would say and do what he pleased, that he did not give a damn for the court's fine. It is therefore ordered that defendant be and is hereby fined $25 for contempt of court, that he be confined in jail, and so on. That's the fourth time he's fined for contempt of court. The trial then proceeded. Alvin Paxson completed his testimony, and Walter Salisbury was called as a witness and part of the prosecution. After he completed his testimony, Alger was called and part of the prosecution. He completed his testimony, and the plaintiff rested its case. Defendant introduced no testimony but made an argument to the jury, after which the court instructed the jury in the courtroom was cleared, and after removing all books and papers that was not proper to be left with the jury, the courtroom was turned to the jury in which to hold their deliberations. The jury, after deliberating 3 hours, could not agree, and with the consent of the defendant, the jury was discharged and the case set down for trial on the 7th day of March, 1905, at the hour of 2 o'clock p.m., and the court issued an order to the marshal directing him to summons a jury of 6 qualified men to appear before the court in the courtroom in Rampart at the time above stated to act as jurors in said cause. March 7th, 1905. At this hour of 2 o'clock, court convened and defendant being present in court, the following named persons were found to be qualified jurors and were sworn to try this cause. W. A. McKinney, Frank Brown, Peter Kalning, J. M. Geggy, John Wheel, and William McManus. Al H. Mayo was called as a witness for the prosecution during the examination of said witness. The defendant, George A. Salisbury, became boisterous and abused the witness in the court, and the court warned him to desist from his abuse. The said defendant then told the court that he could not stop him, that he would say what he pleased, that the court was prejudiced, and that he proposed to say and do as he damn pleased, and the court could find and be damned. The court then assessed a fine of $25 against him and is accordingly entered as follows. The defendant, George A. Salisbury, having refused to obey the order of the court requesting him to desist from abusing the witness which he was examining thereupon, told the court that he would do as he pleased, that he proposed to say and do as he pleased, the court could find and be damned. It is therefore hereby ordered and adjudged by the court that defendant George A. Salisbury be and hereby is fined for contempt of court. This is the fifth contempt of court. And again, the sum of $25. After that was accomplished, the court then proceeded with the trial. The defendant, George A. Salisbury, again became boisterous and abusive to both the court and the witness, for which the court again fined him $25 for contempt of court, and accordingly entered the following order. Defendant George A. Salisbury, having on open court during the trial of this cause, conducted himself in an insolent manner towards the court and a witness on the witness stand, refused to obey the order of the court, directing him to conduct himself in an orderly manner, but told the court that it was an old blank and that the court could go to hell. It is therefore ordered and adjudged by this court that the defendant George A. Salisbury be and is hereby fined the sum of $25 for contempt of court, and that he be confined in jail until said fine is paid, not to exceed 10 days, etc. The witness L. H. Mayo then proceeded. That was the sixth fine. Up to $150 now in contempt fines. The witness, L. H. Mayo, then proceeded with his testimony, and in a few minutes the defendant became boisterous and abusive. The court requested him to desist. Defendant then addressed the court in a boisterous and threatening manner, after which the court fined him for contempt and entering the following order. The order is, I'll read this order, which is order number 7 against him. George A. Salisbury, having called the court in an old chump that he would fix the court after this thing is over, and that would say what he'd goddamn pleased the court, came to the judge's stand and shook his fist in the court's face, stating that he would fix the court for this compelling the court to call on the marshal to quiet him. It is therefore ordered and adjudged by the court that the defendant be and hereby is fined $25 for contempt of court, and that he be confined in jail until said fine is paid, not to exceed 10 days. That was contempt charge number 7. So he's up to $175 there. We'll continue reading. L. H. Mayo completed his testimony, and Alvin Paxton was called, sworn, and testified on behalf of the prosecution. Walter Salisbury was then called by the prosecution, sworn, and testified. William LeClaire was then called by the prosecution, sworn and testified. Plaintiff then rested its case. The defendant called Alger, who was sworn and testified, after which Defendant rested. Defendant then addressed the jury, after which the court instructed the jury in the law. The courtroom was vacated, and all books and papers therein, not proper for the jury to see, was removed, and the jury left in the courtroom to deliberate on their verdict. After the jury had deliberated upon its verdict for some hours, reported to the court that it was impossible for them to agree upon a verdict, and the court being convinced that said jury could not agree upon a verdict, with the consent of the defendant, the jury was discharged, and the case set for trial on the 9th day of March, 1905. The defendant, having requested the court to continue the trial of said case until said date to enable him to procure an important witness. Defendant then requested the court to issue a subpoena for J. Biedemann, B-E-D-I-M-E-N, and that said subpoena be issued in behalf of the United States, as he had no funds to pay for procuring said witness. The court informed said defendant that he would give him until March 8, 1905, at the hour of 1 o'clock p.m., to make the proper showing to entitle him to said witness. March 8, 1905. At this, the hour of 1 o'clock p.m., the defendant, George A. Salisbury, appeared before the court and stated that he had decided to not make any showing for said witness, whereupon the court refused his request for said witness. Back to March 7th. The marshal filed with the court the order for the jury in the above entitled case. Well, I'm going to skip back to March 8th. The court issued an order to the marshal to summon six qualified men. So, on March 9th, the court convened at the hour 1 o'clock p.m., the plaintiff and defendant being present in court and each having informed the court that they were ready for the trial to proceed. The following named jurors were called, found qualified, and sworn to try said cause: Sam Heater, Fred Rader, Jack Welch, Albert Gaslow, T.O. Isley, Fred Levenberger. The plaintiff introduced the following named witnesses: L.H. Mayo, complaining witness, Alvin Paxson, Walter Salisbury, and Billy LeClaire, all of whom were sworn and testified on part of the prosecution. Edward Hopkins appeared as counsel for the prosecution. Defendant appeared for himself. Plaintiff then rested. Defendant introduced Barsley Wheel, John Palm, Edward Hopkins, and Alger, all of whom were sworn and testified in behalf of defendant. Defendant then took the stand and testified in his own behalf. Edward Hopkins addressed the jury in behalf of the prosecution and defendant in behalf of his own defense, after which the court instructed the jury regarding the law and the case, and the jury was given the courtroom in which to deliberate on their verdict. All books and papers not proper for the jury to see having been previously removed, and the deputy marshal, Charles Dreibelbis, was sworn to take charge of the jury. At the hour of 9 o'clock p.m., the jury having failed to agree upon up to this time, the court ordered the deputy marshal, having them in charge, to give the jury its supper and charge up the expense as other costs, which was done, the cost of which are $6. After said jury had returned to the jury room, they notified the deputy marshal that they had agreed upon a verdict. Court then convened, and the defendant being present in court, the jury informed the court that they had agreed upon a verdict, and the foreman of said jury handed to the court the following verdict. In the Justice Court for Rampart Precinct, Division No. 3, Territory of Alaska, before J. Lindley Green, Commissioner and Ex Officio Justice of the Peace, United States versus George A. Salisbury, Defendant, Case Number 119, Criminal Docket. Verdict of the jury. We, the jury, in the above-entitled cause, find the defendant, George A. Salisbury, guilty as charged. G. E. Heater, Foreman, John Welch, T. O. Isley, Albert Goslin, Fred Levenberger, Fred E. Rader. After publicly reading said verdict in open court, the court said jury asked said jury if that was their verdict, and all jurors responded that it was. The court then set the hour of the 2 o'clock p.m. March 10th, 1905 to pass sentence on said defendant, and case was continued until that time. March 9th, 1905, the deputy marshal filed with the court the order issued by the court on the 8th day of March for him to summons the jury to try said cause with his return endorsed. Yeah, well, that was just the marshal's entry that he had brought these jurors. March 10th, 1905, at this the hour of 2 o'clock p.m., court convened, and the defendant being present in court, and the defendant having stated in open court that he knew of no reason why jury but should not be passed upon him. The court accordingly sentenced the defendant to pay a fine of $20 and pay all the court costs of this prosecution, and that he be confined in jail until said fine and costs are paid, not exceeding 100 days. And the court therefore enters the following order. Quote, in the Justice Court for Rampart Precinct, 3rd Division of the Territory of Alaska, before J. Lindley Green, Commissioner, and as ex officio Justice of the Peace, United States of America Plaintiff versus George A. Salisbury, Defendant, Case Number 119, Criminal Docket, the Judgment. Rampart, Alaska, March 10, 1905. The above-named defendant, George A. Salisbury, having been brought before me, J. Lindley Green, Commissioner, and ex officio Justice of the Peace, in a criminal action for the crime of using profane and obscene language in a public place in the town of Rampart, 3rd Division of the Territory of Alaska, to the annoyance of inhabitants thereof, and the said George A. Salisbury, having thereupon pled not guilty and duly tried by jury, and upon such trial duly convicted, I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $20, and that he pay the cost of this action, taxed at $187.40, and that he be imprisoned in jail until such fine and costs are paid, not to exceed 100 days. So, George Salisbury was convicted of using obscene language in a public place, and he also paid dearly for contempt of court. He was fined 7 times for contempt of court. The next case that appears in this docket is April 8th, 1905. It was a complaint made by the Deputy U.S. Marshal charging the defendant, Edmund, an Indian, with, quote, that the said Edmund did, on the 8th day of April, 1905, in the front street of Rampart, in Rampart Precinct, 3rd Division of the District of Alaska, then and there, publicly and indecently expose his private parts, his penis, all contrary to the form of the statutes in such cases made and provided, and against the peace and dignity of the United States. So a warrant was issued for the arrest of Edmund, an Indian. And he was duly arraigned, and the complaint read to him. On April 8th, 1905, this notation on this docket, George W. Chisholm, Episcopal missionary in charge of the Indians in Rampart Precinct, called the attention of the court to the fact that the defendant was an Indian not accustomed to mingling with white people or living in white communities, and was not aware that he was transgressing the law, and would not have committed the offense had he known he was doing would not have committed the offense. The court being convinced that, under the circumstances as above set forth, that the minimum penalty prescribed by the code is too severe and would ward a hardship on the defendant, that $5 in the cost is sufficient penalty for this offense. The court therefore enters the following judgment. The above-named Edmund, an Indian, having been brought before me, J. Lindley Green, a commissioner and ex officio Justice of the Peace, in a criminal action for the crime of exposing his person, his penis, in a public place in the town of Rampart, and the said Edmund having thereupon pled guilty to said charge, and the said Edmund having been therefore duly convicted upon said plea of guilty, I have adjudged that he and hereby is fined the sum of $5, and that he pay the cost of this prosecution, taxed at $12.61. Excuse me, that's $12.51. And that he be imprisoned in the Rampart Jail, United, until said fine and cost be paid, not exceeding 9 days. On April 8th, 1905, the defendant paid the fine and costs in full. The total amount paid by the defendant was $17.15. I would have guessed that the Commissioner Green would have been a little more compassionate considering the missionary's testimony there, but he wasn't. $17.51 was an awful lot of money for an Indian in 1905. I wonder where he got it. Perhaps from the Episcopal missionary. Another case noted here on April 27th, 1905 is against young Stephen for willfully, maliciously, and unlawfully assaulting and striking and beating Bill Stephen, not being armed with a dangerous weapon, all contrary to the form of the statutes in such cases made and provided, and against the peace and dignity of the United States. Warrants were issued, and the man was arraigned and read the complaint. He demanded a jury trial, and this is what the jury wrote. We, the jury, in the above-entitled cause, find the defendant not guilty as charged. The defendant was then requested to stand before the court, which he did, and the court thereupon sentenced the said young Stephen to pay a fine of $10 and the costs and disbursements of this case, and thereupon made and entered the following judgment. The above-named defendant, young Stephen, an Indian, having been brought before me, J. Lindley Green, Commissioner and Ex-Officio Justice of the Peace, in a criminal action for the crime of assault and battery on the person of Bella Stephen, and the said young Stephen having thereupon pled not guilty and was duly tried by jury and upon such trial duly convicted thereof. The jury found him guilty. I have adjudged that he pay a fine of $10 in cost of this prosecution, taxed at $234.50, and that he be imprisoned in the United States jail until such fine and costs are paid, not to exceed 90 days in all. So he went to jail too. Too bad. Here's another case in 1905, April 30th, 1905. The complaint made and filed by Ellen Morgan charging, quote, that on the 30th day of April 1905 in Rampart Precinct, 3rd Division of Territory of Alaska, the aforesaid Richard Hodson gave spirituous liquor, to wit whiskey, to Mariah, who is an Indian, without the authority of the United States or some authorized. The plaintiff in this case introduced the following named witnesses: Mariah, an Indian; Ellen Morgan; Teresa, an Indian; Ben Mayo; and F.D. Steele. The defendant then introduced his defense, and the following named witnesses were sworn and testified in his behalf: C.A. Brown, G.C. Bettles, Judge C.H. Knapp, Lewis Iverson, Pete Colning, and the defendant then testified in his own behalf. Defendant then rested his case, and plaintiff rested its case. Defendant then addressed the jury in his behalf. The court then gave its instructions to the jury and swore the Deputy U.S. Marshal F.D. Steele as bailiff to take charge of the jury. The jury then retired and, after deliberation, returned into court with their verdict. The defendant being present in court, the foreman of the jury delivered to the court the verdict, which was read in open court, in presence of defendants. Said verdict was as follows: We, the jury, in the above-entitled cause, find the defendant not guilty as charged in the complaint. Signed by E.P. Hill, Walter Sundberg, J.W. Frazier, Fraser, Joseph Sycott, Tom Malone, William Owen. Not guilty. Here's another using a woman who's... No, the complaint was made by a woman charging another woman with using obscene language in a public place, on that is Front Street, the town of Rampart. The defendant pled guilty to this charge of using obscene language on the front street at Rampart. And... was fined. Let's see, I'll have to check to see what the sentence was. Commissioner Green fined her the sum of $50. And then I'll quote, and that she pay the cost of this prosecution taxed at the sum of $16.85, and that she be imprisoned in jail until said fine and costs are paid not to exceed 34 days. Skipping over to 19.6, a complaint made May 4th, 19.6, charging a man with indecent exposure. Complaint was made by Valerie Valeria, V-A-L-E-R-I-A, Valeria Myers, charging that James Houston, H-U-S-T-E-N, did on the third day of May 1906 in the town of Rampart and Rampart Precinct, 3rd Division, in a public place therein, willfully and lewdly exposed his person, his penis, all contrary to the form of the statutes in such case made and provided against the peace and dignity of the United States. Anyway, the complaint was sworn and warrant was issued. And then the defendant was brought into court, asked to have the case continued to the 7th day of May. To enable him to procure George A. Salisbury, attorney at law, to defend him, and the court knowing of its own personal knowledge that the said George A. Salisbury is out of town, and that said continuance should be granted. It is therefore ordered that the court be and hereby is continued until the 7th day of May 1906, and the defendant given until that time in which to plead to the charge against him. The court fixed the bail of the defendant at the sum of $400. On the 7th of May, the defendant appeared in court and pled not guilty and requested a jury trial. And a jury then was, the marshal was instructed to select a jury. Those who were selected were J.W. Young, James McHugh, B.W. Stickney, H.Z. Bellenberg, Joe Wheel, Paul Schultz, C.A. Brown, C. Swanson, John Palm, Herman, I don't know the last name there, Harry Barbas, William Pike. The jury's finding is as follows. We, the jury, in the above entitled cause, find the defendant James Houston not guilty as charged.